Today's podcast is brought to you by Reality Game Masters. The ultimate gamers from Survivor and Big Brother square off in the first ever Rob Has a Podcast original series. See the trailer and find out more information at realitygamemasters.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's asking you the question, who wants to hear my Big Brother Canada podcast? Rob Sestradino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our first ever live edition of the Big Brother Canada podcast, coming to you here on robhasawebsite.com. Sort of, we said we were going to do one over the weekend. I figured when I could get this guy on the line, it would be a good time to do it. He's been waiting all the last 12 hours or so to hear about nominations and whatnot. And he's going to tell us about everything that he's been following as far as Big Brother goes over the last week or so. Here he is, the man who does not stop watching the live feeds and is viciously denying the rumor that he has a proxy server at his house to allow him to see all things Big Brother Canada. Mr. Brian Lynch.
Hey, Rob.
Yes. Brian, how are you?
I'm well. I got a little bit of feed lag, but we got what we want, which is a great Big Brother game to watch, so I'm happy.
Yeah. What is the cure for feed lag?
For feed lag, maybe a good workout with Nicole Sestradino.
Whoa. Take it easy. So here's what we're going to do here on this program. So I know a lot of people are concerned, as are they with the American version of Big Brother. What we like to do on the Big Brother podcast is we're going to only talk about the Big Brother TV show to start things off. And then at a certain point in the show, we will say, okay, spoiler time. And then we will talk about things that have happened on Big Brother Canada since the end of the live show. So this first part, if you've only seen the TV show, you will be safe here. And I can't promise you what you're going to hear in the chat room if you're following us live at robhasawebsite.com/live-show. That's the place to watch the show on our website and be a part of our chat room. We can't promise you what the chat room people are going to say, but for as far as Brian and I go, nothing from the live feeds until we tell you it's spoiler time, and then we'll talk about stuff that happens on the live feeds.
Check.
Sounds like a plan? And Brian, for those of you guys listening to this in the audio archives after the show is over, here's what we're going to do. I just started a new Big Brother live or a Big Brother podcast feed, and I don't know how many people of our regular podcast audience are going to be able to have an interest in Big Brother Canada or are going to be following it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be putting the Big Brother Canada podcasts up in its own podcast feed. Okay, so if you want to subscribe to the Big Brother podcast, this one you'll hear in the main Rob Has a Podcast feed, but if you want to hear any of them after this, you can go to our show feed page, which is robhasawebsite.com/showfeeds, and then you can just select the Big Brother podcast feed there. Or you can, if you are watching this on the show page afterwards, I'll post a link there. Or you can go directly on iTunes if you go to robhasawebsite.com/BB podcast. Okay? So hopefully that's not too confusing for you guys. So this will be the only Big Brother Canada podcast that I'm putting in the main Rob Has a Podcast feed. Everything else is going to go in its own separate Big Brother version of Rob Has a Podcast feed. Sound good, Brian?
Sounds great.
Yeah, not too confusing?
Not at all.
Okay. So, all right. So, robhasawebsite.com/BB podcast if you want to get our separate Big Brother podcast feed. Okay. So, Brian, it has been a couple days here of Big Brother Canada, and I have to say, I am very impressed with the Canadian version of the Big Brother.
I'm very impressed with the Canadian version as well, Rob. It's almost identical to the BB version. The rules go the same way. The only differences basically are about the house and how it's set up. Some things are closer to some of the international versions. There's a larger audience with live shows the whole time. So it's been pretty great, I thought.
Yeah, and I do think that there will be some people who listen to this podcast who did not even see Big Brother Canada at all. So for people who are in the United States and have not checked it out, what are some of the ways that people are in the United States are watching Big Brother Canada? Do you know?
Yeah, a lot of people are just live streaming. You know, someone's putting it up on site. But a lot of people in the U.S. have access to iPads. And for some of those iPads and other mobile devices, for some reason, it's the Slice site's not blocked to them, so they're able to watch it.
It also seems like a lot of the episodes are being put up on YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about the feeds there.
Oh, the feeds.
The episodes usually come up around midnight of the air date. So I'm trying to post all of those as soon as they come up on Twitter.
Yeah. So people are watching the Big Brother Canada episodes. And that's I've watched the two episodes so far on YouTube. And I have to say, I'm really, really impressed. The house is beautiful on Big Brother Canada. It's, dare I say, it's nicer than the American Big Brother house?
I think so. They put a lot of money into it. The structure itself, the living room and area is kind of like a basement.
Yeah.
And the upstairs part's kind of like ground level to this big complex. The yard is humongous. The set that they have is great. They have like this big LCD screen house that changes all the time. So it's just visually impressive.
It's visually impressive. It is American rules on Big Brother Canada, where we are going to have two people nominated. We have a power of veto. Everything is pretty much exactly the same. So for all intents and purposes, if you are a Big Brother fan, no reason not to be watching the Big Brother Canada.
Right, especially if you're in it for the gameplay and strategy, because if you miss out on Big Brother Canada, you're missing some good strategy and gameplay by a lot of good players.
Yeah. All right, so we have a new host of Big Brother Canada. The host of Big Brother Canada is a woman by the name of Arissa Cox, and I'm not familiar with her work outside of Big Brother Canada, but how do you think the comparison has gone of Arissa Cox versus Julie Chen through two episodes?
I think at first glance, people want to compare her to Julie Chen for some reason, but she's been on a reality show before in Canada. She's done a lot of work for E, and she pretty much she pretty much called Alec and Topaz out on their showmance right in front of everybody. So I mean, it sounded more like a Jeff Probst style interrogation than a Julie Chen.
Yeah, I think so. Even though I think that actual Julie Chen has more personality than what she does on Big Brother, like if you watch her on The Talk, Julie Chen is, you know, keeps it pretty straightforward for the most part. And if she shows any emotion, it's a big departure for her. But Arissa Cox does seem to be have a little more emotion. She seems to be mixing it up with the people in the audience a little bit. So I have to say a little more pizzazz maybe for Arissa Cox to start off.
Yeah, and Arissa is very, fan-friendly. I mean, she's communicating with people on Twitter all the time. So, I'm not saying that Julie Chen's not fan-friendly, but if you send Julie Chen a message, she probably won't respond to you.
Not super fan-friendly, Julie Chen. Not one of her strong suits.
No, but we love her, don't we?
Probably out of Julie Chen, Jeff Probst, and Phil Kogan, probably the least likely to ever respond to you on Twitter.
Probably, but I don't follow Phil. I guess I should, though, since I love Tar so much, right?
Why not?
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it. All right.
Just do it.
So just to update you guys through two episodes, here's just the very quick Cliff Notes version, and then we'll go through it. We had everybody move into the house on Wednesday night. We got the telephone twist, where if the phone rings, whoever picks it up will get an assignment. Suzette was the first person to pick up the phone. She got a mission. Lo and behold, she is the first HOH in the game. She nominates Tom and Emmett. Tom and Emmett and Suzette and company compete in the power of veto. Tom wins the first power veto, takes himself up off the block, and Kat goes up on the block. And the very next night, she is out of the house, the first person kicked off ever from Big Brother Canada. So, Brian, how much time elapsed between the first night they moved into the house to when Kat got kicked out of the house?
I'm being told that they moved into the house on Thursday. So it was about a week before she was evicted. You know, it was a week before she was evicted. And I, just referring to her eviction, there wasn't a lot of information on why, really. I mean, even Suzette, she didn't really even give a reason to why she put her up, except that she was bullying her.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was ridiculous, right?
All right, well, first off, let's talk about Suzette before we get into Kat. What's your take on our first HOH ever from Big Brother Canada, Suzette?
Well, Suzette, her game plan basically was to be the ultimate floater. And for an ultimate floater, she moved pretty fast to get to that phone. And I guess you see what happens when a floater gets control of all the power. They kind of I'm not going to say she made a mess of everything, but everybody in the Big Brother Canada house is saying she made a mess of everything. So there you go.
Suzette is pretty much a disaster off the bat. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, she really is. You know, everything about her is just a complete mess, and her gameplay is atrocious. And she is going to be, you know, there's no chance she doesn't leave the Big Brother Canada house this summer, how trained we are for Big Brother, this winter, without having a breakdown before she leaves.
No, and really, at this point, she doesn't even have to float. There's going to be enough game players that's going to drag her a long way in this game.
Yeah, Suzette is going to give us so – she is going to be – she is a heavy set Rachel Riley. Is that what – is that a the old Rachel before she really calmed down a little bit. She is going to have more breakdowns, more flip-outs. Suzette is going to be nonstop drama, I think, for us in the Big Brother Canada house.
Right. Maybe clueless Rachel. I mean, Like if anybody can be more clueless than the first season of Rachel going into what she needed to be doing at the time with strategy.
And aesthetically, I don't want to say she doesn't look anything like Rachel. She's, but, you know, the old Rachel, like Big Brother 12 Rachel, really on, you know, I don't want to make any, not get myself
love
in trouble here. Yeah. I love
it,
Suzette.
Though.
Love it.
Yes.
Now, yeah, I'm gonna be careful here to start off the Big Brother Canada podcast.
Why don't you let me get in trouble, Rob?
No. We'll try to keep it classy to start.
Okay.
So Suzette's tenure as Big Brother HOH was an odd one, to say the least. It was one of the stranger nomination speeches we've ever heard in Big Brother history, which was. Do you remember what she said?
You two, or these guys.
I nominate you two guys.
She said, who are you going to nominate and give us the reason? You two guys. That was it.
It's almost like, had anybody else been sitting over there, they would have been on the block. I don't think there was any reason to nominate Emmett. Maybe she wanted Tom, and if like Anil was sitting next to him, or any of the other players in the house, they would have been on the block too.
Well, in Suzette's defense, she didn't have much time to decide what was going to happen, and it just did seem like, in a way, that she just looked at the end of the couch and threw those people on the block, you know? Those people are going to win veto. I mean, there is no doubt about it. One of them is going to win veto, and they're going to hate you for doing that to them.
If Suzette had to, do you think she could have told us the names of Tom and Emmett at that point in the game?
No. I mean, I think... Not at that point. She may have known their names before then, but I think at that moment, you know, when you get in a new situation and it all the nervousness and stuff hits you, I mean, sometimes you can only say what comes to your mind at the time. And a lot of times names don't do that.
By the way, we're recording this podcast live on a Wednesday. Live on a Saturday afternoon here. The whole premiere threw me off. Saturday afternoon here with Brian Lynch. If you want to get your comments into the show, you could tweet us anytime at #RHAP, and then I can go ahead and pull those onto the screen here. So we get to the first veto competition, which I thought was very dangerous Big Brother, they always like to throw a dirty competition at us. So we had sort of like a pelvic thrusting balloon popping, but basically you had like a belt made of thumbtacks, and it looked like
an S&M belt.
So and then a couple times it seemed like the players ran into each other, and I thought somebody was going to need stitches.
Yeah, right there at the end, Tom ran over Neil, didn't he? Just right at the end
of
the competition.
Yeah, I was like, oh, but they were fine.
Well, he was nice about it, too. He even stopped to help him up before he went and finished the competition.
Yeah. So we had all of the balloon popping going on, and basically the players had to like dive onto the balloons and sort of thrust their waist towards the balloons to pop them. And really, Suzette was really, she was killing it out there.
Was she?
She was popping a lot of balloons. She was right there at the end. She was right there. She was one piece away. She couldn't find the right piece.
Well, there was several people that was one piece away. But I think she wasn't really, I mean, she was going around looking for pieces on the ground, wasn't she?
I don't know.
Wasn't one of them like throwing away pieces and she was just going to pick them up out of the pile? I'm not sure. Yeah. I'll have to rewatch that.
But she did a good job. But why did they have to be in purple head-to-toe spandex for that competition? Do we have any sense of that?
I don't know. I mean, what was the theme of it? I mean, I just, you know, it was like the humping balloons competition. That's all I could remember. I can't even, like, if they had a name for it, I can't remember it.
Yeah, it was like, okay, get head-to-toe in purple spandex, wear a thumbtack belt, and then we're going to drop balloons from the sky. And then it was almost like, I don't even know what they were supposed to be.
Well, a couple of them were just, they weren't even trying to pop the balloons with their belts. They were just doing belly flops on the ground at high speeds.
Right.
It was like Emmett was doing.
Now, what did you think of the Big Brother Canada power of veto? Unlike the American power of veto, which is, of course, like the veto sign on the necklace, the power of veto in Canadian Big Brother is like a big acrylic V.
You know, I'm going to be partial to the BBUSA veto. Just I think I really do hate the veto for BB Canada.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It's that bad. It's like they spent so much money on everything else that they couldn't go get a decent looking. It's like it's almost as bad as the diamond power veto that fell apart.
So far, yeah. The Canadian veto is so far is the worst part of Big Brother Canada so far. That's the biggest thing they've gotten wrong so far.
Yeah, and that's a trifle. We can overlook that easily, right?
Yes, we can overlook that. But I'll say, if the power of veto, the actual necklace, is the biggest thing that they got wrong, then they're doing a heck of a job so far.
Well, I'm gonna say it. They're doing a wonderful job because I'm loving it.
Yeah,
every bit of it.
It's been really, really great. So then after the first, anybody else from the first night, anything memorable happened that you want to touch on here?
From the first night's episode, you know, I'm so far away from that point. Other than, you know, the alliances that started setting up, Suzette, by putting up Tom and Emmett, almost solidified their alliance in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Tom told Emmett, you know, we got this, we're going to do it. And, you know, his plan, just one of them won veto, and they've been kind of stuck together ever since. So. Other than that, if there's anything you can think of, I'd be happy to address it.
Very good. Very good first night in the Big Brother house. So then when we got to the second night of Big Brother Canada, we started to see a little bit more of the gameplay and what was going on. Now, obviously, we saw that Tom won the veto on the first night, and Suzette had to name a replacement nomination. And there was a little bit of gameplay going on. A couple people wanted to get some different people nominated in the house, and then Neil went to great lengths to try to get Gary up on the block. Let's talk a little bit about Gary Glitter so far and his impact on the house.
Yeah. Well, he's putting glitter on everything. And, you know, he's like, don't take this the wrong way, but I'm almost going to say he should be on like RuPaul's Drag Race because everybody, he like, hey, bitch, what's up, bitch? You know, it's that's a in term of endearment for him. You know, that's just how he communicates with people. And I guess, first impressions, it got on a lot of people's nerves.
Yeah, and I have to tell you that if I was in the Big Brother house, the glitter would get on my nerves because glitter, it gets everywhere. There's no getting rid of it. It's like going to the beach. It's just like there's like when you come home from the beach and there's sand everywhere and you're dumping out your shoe like 3 weeks later. It's like, oh my God, how is there still sand in this? That is what the equivalent of glitter.
Yeah. Also, AJ seems to be the most at odds, or did at that point with Gary. You know, there's been a lot on the show made about Tom and Gary, and, you know, they're handcuffed together.
Yeah.
But it seems like Tom's just willing just to let whatever Gary does just go on by. But AJ is just did not like Gary, I don't think.
Yeah. Tom said, correct me if I'm wrong, in his original thing, he said that he, in his intro video, they cut in between, I think it was from Tom to Gary, that Tom says his dislikes, he really dislikes flamboyant people. Then
correct.
Cut to Gary.
And then they cut right to Gary. And then Gary said something about thinking farm boys was hot, and they cut right to Emmett.
Yeah.
And then they did a good job of putting all that together.
And
it was very entertaining.
Emmett's brother said, and watch out for the gay one. Don't trust him.
Yeah, I guess that's good advice, you know.
And then,
I don't know.
And then cut to Gary saying that, oh, Emmett's so hot, I really want to get to know him.
But Gary's kind of like this pendulum anyway. He'll say one thing and then he'll argue one thing to you for an hour and then change his mind completely about it and then argue the opposite side of that for another hour.
Yeah. So the big problem going on in the house was Gary's glitter has gotten everywhere, and the glitter is on everything. So Anil, probably the most underhanded thing that we've seen so far on Big Brother Canada, unless you tell me about something that happened on the live feeds. So Anil stole Gary's glitter and then started putting it all over the house to try to get him on people's nerves. So Suzette would put him up on the block as the replacement nominee, and he would send him home. Extremely strong gameplay out of the box here for Anil. Did you like that move, Brian?
I love that move. It almost seemed like he was going to get busted, and I thought he was kind of busted, but it seemed like he got away with it. You know, I mean, if you're willing to go that low, you know, kudos for you. That's good gameplay.
Yeah. It's a Russell Hantz type move.
It reminded me of more of just Eric, America's Player, spraying mustard all over Jen's favorite shirt or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, and what was the reason why America's Player did that? Was that for America, or that was because he did that as a strategic thing?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was America got to vote on what Eric should sabotage or graffiti of some sort.
Yeah.
Damage of property kind of challenge.
Now, as Big Brother fans, we all love seeing stuff like this, of seeing the players like really do sort of sneaky stuff. But in the game of Big Brother, where we say it all the time of how the game is a marathon, not a sprint. Even Dan Giesling on the episode says, let everybody else blow each other's heads off as you go there along the way. So is that a good idea on day two or day three to try to frame Gary for something when it seems like there's not a lot of strategic benefit to be gained other than Gary is maybe getting on your nerves?
Well, Anil was putting it, you know, it's a very big risk, but Anil thought it was important enough to try to save Kat, mm-hmm. you know, try to get Gary put up on the block.
Was that what he was doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because him and Kat were really, really, really close.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know the part of it where he was trying to save Kat from going up on the block. I thought it was more that he wanted to see Gary go out.
Both. It's both. But I think the motivating factor of that was to try to save Kat.
Do Gary and Anil get along? Because it seemed like in the first episode, we had an episode of where Gary said he doesn't like Anil and Anil said he didn't like Gary.
You know, that's a good question. I haven't seen much conflict between them, if any. And now that I think about it, they don't really hang out. So they could be all fine and just have gone their separate ways or whatever. But I don't. We can go on, but we can discuss this later in spoilers.
Okay. And another thing going on in the Big Brother Canada house is there's a lot of relationships forming. Get a Grip 1 has a question, which is, let me bring this up on the screen. Get a Grip 1. What is up with the open showmances? Alec and Topaz, Jillian and Emmett, WTF players, most surprised at Alec. Now, Alec in his pregame interviews said that he was the most like Dr. Will, which said, okay, bingo, that guy is my pick for the game. Now, Although you have to remember, a young Dr. Will, even an old Dr. Will in Big Brother All-Stars, both times did have a showmance.
Yeah, they like Chilltown like playing the showmances, and it does seem like Alec is, I mean, Alec and Topaz just came right together.
Boom.
From the start. Boom. And that was it. And they were making out and whatever. Emmett and Jill are a little bit different story. Actually, they're more of like a cuddlemance. I know that Alec and Topaz are referring to their showmance as a cuddlemance, which it's not. But Emmett and Jillian, you know, they're just kind of together. I think Jillian doesn't want to she's worried about the way, you know, a showmance would appear to her family and back home, because she's a teacher and everything. And I guess I'm thinking that you might even be able to add Tom and Liza into this group of showmances very soon as well.
Okay. Well, you know, I think it's kind of like peer pressure, where it's like, hey, these two are a couple and these two are a couple. And I think that happens a lot on reality shows, where there's like one couple forms and then all of a sudden there's a second couple, and people just start to pair off. But if there's no couples, then people aren't pairing off.
Right. And plus, you know, they're paired off in beds anyway.
Whoa.
So cuddling becomes like second nature when you're asleep, you know, and you need to get warm in Canada, I guess.
Is that what it is? They're just trying to stay warm in Canada? You know, the Big Brother U.S. players are always complaining about how cold the house is. So the Big Brother Canada house must be really cold.
Well, I tweeted out asking just random Canadians, you know, do Canadians like to cuddle like the Brits? Because the Brits are very cuddly, you know. I mean,
whoa,
they can be best friends and cuddling all over each other in the house.
Okay.
So I'm not sure about
the UK Big Brother contestants. You're not generalizing all British people.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I don't know any British people. So.
Okay. Oh, I thought you knew British people and they're very cuddly. I didn't know you were talking about the Big Brother contestants.
I've watched the Big Brother. I watch CBB, and the British people just love each other.
Okay.
They kiss. Like that.
Whoa. So Brian, and how does the Canadian Big Brother compare to the English Big Brother? I know that the English Big Brother is played much more like the Big Brother 1 rules, but as far as the layout of the house and everything, is it more similar to a British Big Brother?
Yeah, the layout of the house. I mean, if you're just going to go by the looks of what you're seeing physically on Big Brother Canada, and it would look a lot more like the UK version. Or the Australian version. You can mix or match those, interchange them.
Okay, so we had then the replacement nomination ended up being Kat, who we didn't really get to learn a lot about in the game, but what we saw on the show was she basically got together with all the girls and wanted to start a girls' alliance, and most of the girls were like, not so much, but they all said, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And so then Kat went to go and talk to, what's her name? Suzette. And then she went to go talk to Suzette and basically told her about that. And Suzette seemed put off by the whole thing of Kat coming to talk to her.
Yeah, she was like, don't tell me what to do. I'm putting you on the block. You're going home.
Right. Is that a
bully?
Yeah.
You bully?
Yeah. Oh, now, why did Suzette say that Kat was bullying her in her nomination speech?
You know, I mean, she just came up with it off the top of her head, if I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You know, just to say, I don't have any reason, you're a bully, and no one else can, you know, verify that that's not what happened, because that convo was private. So, I mean, I guess it's a good move if you're trying to set someone up and you know what you're doing, but if you're just trying to make an excuse for a dumb move, bad move.
It is a bad move. Now, it seemed like in the beginning of Big Brother US, Big Brother 14, we had a lot of claims of bullying going on also in the house with Willie Hansen, the Willie Hansen Frank era.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Who all was supposed to be bullying each other?
I think that Frank said Willie Hansen was a bully.
Yeah, and Danielle said that Frank was a bully. And then it was like one vicious circle in the Big Brother 14 house about bullying.
Should we just have it automatically, if you talk about bullying in the Big Brother house, you have to go on slop for all the people that are actually bullied in the world, like who are really getting annoyed about people on the game shows complaining about bullying?
Let's make it more serious. Let's just go full penalty vote.
You get automatic nomination. So then we had on the block, it was Emmett versus Kat on the block, and in almost a unanimous vote, even Arissa Cox was besides herself how many votes Kat got.
Right, but the interesting thing is Liza's vote here. Did you see her when she cast her vote? She's like, I vote to evict Emmett.
Yeah.
So she looked kind of devilish right there, and I was like, wow, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I have to say, another thing that I'll say, another not sticking the landing moment for Big Brother Canada, I felt like the live show, especially, and it was the first one, so we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but I thought that the live show did not run as smooth as one of the U.S. live shows normally run.
Well, you know, it wasn't really live.
Oh. Right?
They're recorded live, and this is, since I watched the international versions, I know a little bit about it. They record them live so they can say the live show, what they say is live eviction, mm-hmm. or live this or live that. But we're talking about the second night.
Mm-hmm.
The endurance comp was going on before the show even aired. And the feeds came back up, and we had a spoiler for the show before the show even started.
Oh, okay. So it was this eviction was taped before a live studio audience. Maybe that's what they should go with.
Right. Well, everything, it looks like everything they're doing is taped before a live studio audience. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see the show on Sunday night, because you would imagine that the audience isn't going to be there for Sunday night's show, right?
You got me.
Okay.
You got me.
So we'll see what happens, because normally you don't even see us, Julie Chen for 1 second on the Sunday night Big Brother, where basically we see the nominations and what was the fallout after the eviction. So we'll see what happens. Now, we also had a Dan Gieseling appearance there on Thursday night. How about that?
Yeah, what about that? he seemed to come down and just take over and co-host with Arissa for a while.
A very pumped up Dan Gieseling. He came out like a Price is Right contestant.
Yeah, delivering some great words of wisdom to the masses.
Yes. Yes. Great job by Dan Gieseling there on Thursday night, appearing on the Big Brother Canada. So kudos to Dan. What did you think of it? Were you sad to see Kat go, or do you think that we have a, not a big loss as far as viewers go?
I thought more highly of Kat than a lot of people did. I mean, I actually considered her as my pick to win it. I guess she just, we didn't get to see nothing, I mean, by the time the feeds came on, like, her fate, I mean, she was already nominated on the block by the time the feeds came up the first time. So, mm-hmm. We didn't really get a clue of what may have happened to start this conflict between her and Suzette. I know what they showed on the show wasn't what caused it, because it just seems, it don't add up, but that's why we have the feed, so we can get the story straight.
So we can get the story straight. Now, one of the things that Anil had said in his, when they showed, okay, Kat, here's what people, your house guests said about you. Anil said something that I always say, and I don't know if it's a chicken or the egg, if, if me saying this has sort of, if, somebody else has heard him, whatever. Too hard, too fast was his quote, which is what I always say about Big Brother. You can't come out of the game too hard, too fast. Well, although ironically, which is exactly what I feel like Anil is doing.
Right. But a lot of people in that game are doing that. I think Tom's came out too hard, too fast. Maybe even, I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things. Sometimes it works for you. Sometimes it don't. You got to have your strategy locked down.
Yeah, but when did it work for somebody? When did it work for somebody to come out of the gate playing too hard, too fast?
Rachel? Riley?
I guess so. I guess that's fair. That's a fair point. But I have to feel like that's more of the exception than the rule. I feel like Dan Gieseling has it right, where in this Big Brother game, lay back, let the other people blow each other's heads off.
Yeah.
It's a war of attrition. There's going to be, the house is going to get divided at some point. There's going to be two sides. Oh, you got rid of our friend from our side. Now we're going to get rid of somebody from your side, and just stay in the middle, lay low. You don't do nothing. Don't be like a totally useless person in the house. At some point, you're going to have to pick sides, but not yet. Let it, you know, let the game play out for a little bit. Make allies with everybody. Stay off the block. And then, you know, then when it comes crunch time, you got to win a couple of HOHs.
Yeah, a lot of those things are situational, though. You could go in and find out that you're just not the type of person that the rest of the people are, and they just naturally hate you. And then you better start fighting your ass off or you're going to be out the door.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that came to my attention last night that people said, now, not a spoiler in any way, shape, or form here, but here's something. You know, I don't know if Anil has ever heard me talk about don't play the game too hard, too fast. So we do know that that the Big Brother Canada people are aware of Rob has a podcast. So can I play a clip here, Brian?
Please play this clip, Rob.
Okay. So I got my Twitter was blowing up last night that they actually were discussing this very podcast in the Big Brother Canada house. This is a conversation between Pete, Alec, and Anil. This is from Big Brother After Dark, episode number 3 from last night. Okay, here we go.
Log about the show now.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if any U.S. People are doing a vlog about us right now.
Like the Rob Sestanino from Survivor, he does, like he's...
Yeah, he does the Survivor ones, right?
Yeah, no, he follows Big Brother too, though. He's on his, Rob has a website.
You know, he's not sucking up to him if he is watching, but he was one of my favorite guys on the first Survivor.
Oh, yeah, he was one of my favorites too.
Yeah.
That's Alec.
No, he was in Amazon and... He's an Amazon All-Stars, but he went either after
wait,
or before.
Wait, don't tell me what happened at All-Stars.
Yeah, and they don't want to, don't, who's that, Alec? Don't tell him what happened on Survivor All-Stars. It's only been 10 years.
Well, I don't know. When did they get it? They get to watch it simulcast?
I think they watch it simulcast. We have a lot of Canadian people that are watching Survivor.
Right.
But yeah, that is from last night. So we know that we can imagine that Pete is at least a... RHAP listener to some degree. He's aware of it.
Right.
Yeah. So good for them. Good for the Big Brother Canada contestants. And we appreciate the mention early on. We didn't make up the BB Canada bingo. That would have been a spot on the board, a mention of Rob as a podcast.
Yeah, that would have been cool. what you didn't play was the later part when they talk about how awesome I am.
Oh, they... Yes, yeah, so all the Big Brother Canada contestants were talking about how great Brian Lynch is. So is there anything else that took place on the shows that you want to mention before we get into some of the stuff from the live feeds?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, screw it. Let's just go spoilers if you want.
All right, here we go. All right, so that's going to do it for the regular episode portion of this podcast. We will be back with more Big Brother Canada. I'm trying to figure out a show schedule. Definitely we'll do another one next weekend. And maybe if things really start to heat up and get crazy, we'll do a midweek one as well to update you guys on everything going on with Big Brother. So, all right, now it's time to talk about spoilers. So, all right, so if you don't want to hear the spoilers, turn it off now. Spoilers. Whoa.
Whoa.
Spoilers. Uh-oh. All right, Brian Lynch, let's talk about it. Thursday night, we last left our Big Brother contestants the lumberjacking it up, hanging onto a tree for dear life. How did this all turn out?
It's a little bit hard to tell you the order that they fell off. I'm pretty sure that Tala and Jill were the last two up on the tree hang of death. And I don't know if Tala cut a deal or she just dropped, but Jill won the HOH.
Okay, so we have a new HOH, and it is Jillian. Okay.
Yes.
So, how has the Jillian HOH been going so far?
The Jillian HOH has just wrapped up her nominations. Yesterday was a crazy, crazy game talk day. I was actually put in Twitter jail tweeting so much, but it's... You know, it's just been crazy. You know, it seems like there's one big, huge alliance of 9, and it seems like 9 was an arbitrary number that Tom picked days ago, and he's been trying to fill out the 9th person. So it's been hard to see who these 9 people are, like to get a grip on it. And the people within that group are fighting against each other. Jill don't like Danielle because Danielle likes Emmett. And it's just been a mess.
The old Big Brother love triangle. It never goes well.
No, it doesn't. So, well, basically, what Jillian had a decision to make. She could either let Emmett run her HOH, and or she could just, you know, do it herself and nominate Danielle. But we hadn't even talked about what Emmett wants.
Okay, what does Emmett want?
Emmett wants Anil out.
Okay.
Because we talked about Liza and her vote, and this is what I was wanting to wait to talk about. Anil and Kat, before Kat had left, had come up with this plan to make it seem like that they had known each other out of the house. And what they were trying to do is drive a wedge between Emmett and Tom, you know, just to make it seem like, well, these girls or these showmances might be grouped up in some way, and just to try to arouse suspicion. Well, that's backfired on Anil. I don't know that. I mean, Tom was told about this somehow. I don't know that he told Liza before she voted, but if Liza, it's just going to be great to see what the diary rooms are Sunday, because if Liza actually voted to evict Emmett and frame it on Anil, which is basically what's happened, then Liza's a freaking genius.
So we have a potential hinky vote here in the mix. Is that what's going on?
I don't know. It didn't look like Liza was trying to just throw Kat a bone, you know, a sympathy vote. Did it look like that to you? I mean, it looked like she had evil intentions.
I'd have to go back and watch it again. I wasn't watching the tone of the voting so closely, especially when it looked like it was going to be such a landslide. But I do love a hinky vote. That is one of my favorite storylines on a Big Brother season.
Well, when a vote like that turns out to be blamed on someone else, it's rarely a hinky vote. There's always something to go with. I mean, you have the American Players votes, right?
Right.
And I guess those were hinky votes, you know, because no one can make sense of them. There wasn't any reason to it. But this one, it's just going to be interesting to find out whether Tom told Liza to vote that way, or whether Liza had done this on her own to try to set Anil up, or it's just all a coincidence.
But is Liza denying that she voted to vote Emmett out?
No one's copping up to that vote.
Okay, see, this is good. It's always fun on reality TV when there's one person who didn't vote the same way. It always it's the surefire way to create drama, whether it's going back to Survivor Africa, which is one of the first times that I remember this happening, where there was a vote for Lex and he went nuts of who voted for me. You know, we had infamously on Big Brother 8 with the whole thing with Eric Stein and Nick. It's always always creates drama when there's just one vote that nobody owns up to.
Right. And, you know, Anil just thinks it's Emmett just thinks it's Anil because of he thinks, you know, Anil and Kat were together somehow.
And so for Anil, is this a case for him where he has been playing the game too hard, too early, and now he could be potentially the next person out of the house?
Yes, now that we're talking about spoilers, it's unclear exactly what the intentions are for this HOH. We know who was nominated, but last night late, Emmett came to Peter, Andrew, and Tom about a backdoor plan for Anil. This morning, it seemed like they had Jill convinced to just go ahead and put Anil and Gary up together. And now that we had the diary room leak and subsequent nominations, it does look like she seemed to go with Danielle and Gary.
Yeah, so Danielle and Gary are on the block, not Anil?
Correct, but this doesn't mean that
the plan
is still not to backdoor him. It's just unclear at this point.
I'm going to make a prediction here, Brian Lynch, here today on March 2nd. I'm going to make a prediction that Gary goes up on the block every single... Gary is on the block no less than five times before the end of the season is over.
Yeah, his nomination chair is going to be covered in glitter.
Yes, that nomination chair is going to be covered with glitter. He's always going to go up every week, and then everybody's always going to say, well, we can get rid of Gary at any time. This person's actually a threat to win the game. You know, oh, but Gary is so annoying. And he's just going to, they're just going to keep bringing him along. And then it's going to get to the point where people start thinking like, well, I, but I could beat Gary in the final too. And then we're going to start to get into the Philip Shepard zone. Okay. So here's, we have a little bit of some differing reports coming out. This is from Y2Gin99 says Anil and Gary are on the block, not Danielle. So the nominations just, okay, just came up in the, you know, since we started doing this podcast. So, according to Y2J in 99, I mean, we'll try to get that confirmed, Anil and Gary are on the block, not Danielle. So if that's the case, we don't have a backdoor plan in motion here. And it looks like Anil is the target because, well, actually, who is the real target if Emmett is running the show here?
Anil.
Anil is the real target.
Anil will be the real target.
Okay, but Anil also is distrustful of Gary.
Anil is distrustful of Gary?
I'm sorry, Emmett is distrustful of Gary.
Yeah, but I don't know. If Gary, if Gary's in the house, I'm fine with it. He's going to cause enough problems, mm-hmm, you know? And plus, it gives you a pawn to throw out. And yeah, he's achieved ultimate pawn status at this point, so no, might as well drag him for a while.
Okay, now, and Y2J in 99 says the veto competition is starting now. Is this how they do it on Big Brother Canada, where you have a nominations and go right into veto competition?
Well, you know, the feats came back right before we went on air. And so when I was telling you that Danielle and Gary were up, that was like the first thing that I saw. So I don't know. I don't know what they're doing right now. I'm not watching the feeds.
It seems kind of crazy, though, for the show to, you know, have so little time between nominations and the veto competition. I mean,
I had heard that they were going to, you know, this was just house speculation that the veto ceremony was going to be on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who's to say that that phone didn't just ring and the first person to go up and grab it got the power of veto, you know?
Yes.
So we don't know what's going on.
Has the phone rang again since the first night?
Not that I've seen, but of course, you know, the feeds have been down.
Yeah, and do we have a cause for that? I mean, we remember last summer the infamous the day that the feeds went down of the Willie Hance headbutt incident. Is there any reason why the Canadian Big Brother feeds we think were out for so long today?
Well, it was over 4 hours that they were out, so I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
All right. Well, in the chat room, let us know if you have any other questions or answers for us about what could have been going on. And if you want to get your tweets on the show, last call before the end of the show, hashtag RHAP. Brian, anybody of these game players, has anybody been impressing you with their game as you've been watching them the last couple of days on the feeds?
Well, Peter, I mean, a lot of people think that Peter is just in the right spot. You know, I mean, the people that consider him a threat are in his alliance, and they have him listed like fourth or fifth down the list of people who they're worried about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Emmett has been impressive, just the way he's been. If this is true that he got Anil just put up on the block straight off the bat, that, I mean, that pretty much means that he's running Julian's show right now. Tom has been a hard game player. Tom thinks that he's the one that's come up with this big alliance of nine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want those names?
Sure. Give me the people that are in the alliance, and then we'll, by proxy, we'll know the people who are not in the alliance.
Okay. Peter, Emmett, Tom, Jillian, Topaz, Alec, Liza, Andrew, and then the girl that didn't even know she was in this alliance until this morning, Tala.
Yeah.
And then that gives you – go ahead.
All right, real quick, could you give me that list again and just a little slower?
Of course, Peter, Emmett, Tom, Jillian, Topaz, Alec, Liza, Andrew, Tala.
Okay, and the people not in the alliance are who?
AJ, Danny, Anil, Gary, and Suzette. But I want to stress that this is such a loose alliance. It's like the public face You know, this is the alliance that exists in the house, and this is what you should believe. But all these people in this alliance are trying to posture themselves against other people in the alliance.
Is this the typical reality show cool kids alliance versus the not cool kids alliance? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, like Suzette, who's on the outs, technically has got assurances of safety from Jillian. You know, Gary is real good friends with Topaz. Danny cleans the house obsessively.
Oh, that's good. That's good. People like that.
And AJ, you know, AJ's had some issues with a bunch of people. I mean, I think AJ may have pissed people off more than anybody.
Yeah.
Before.
Why? What did he do?
You know, I'm not really sure. It's not something that I've really seen on the feeds. It seems like they said something about there was a confrontation between Gary and AJ during the endurance comp that was blocked out.
Hmm. Okay. So it's a developing story that we're learning about more and more all the time.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get a lot of information on this Sunday, and then the diary room should clear up a lot of the question marks that we have.
Yeah, Brian Scully in the chat room says, they're continually have been saying all of the young and hot and fit people are in the alliance. So is that a requirement to be young and hot and fit to be in this alliance? Because God knows I would be on the outside looking in.
Would you say that's Brian that said that?
No, Brian in the chat room.
Well, Brian in the chat room, if Brian in the chat room saw that, then I'm going to say, yeah, I guess, maybe, but I haven't seen that.
The common denominator of young, hot, and fit. So, very good.
But guess what? Andrew's the oldest guy, the oldest person in the house, and he's in that alliance, so it doesn't really fit.
No, he looks young. He looks good for 38.
Yeah.
Looks good.
This is a young cast, though.
So. Yeah, it's not the years, it's the mileage.
Right.
Now, do you think that the people behind Big Brother Canada have missed a tremendous viral marketing opportunity by not producing a Harlem Shake video with the Big Brother cast?
The Harlem Shake video. You know, I saw whatever that was. Can you explain to me what this is?
They have all the cameras in the house anyway. So it could have just been like, you know, everybody is like sleeping in the room or hanging out in the living room, and then, you know, Suzette is just walking by, like bopping to herself, and then all of a sudden, cut to like this crazy orgy scene, a la Big Brother, Till Death Do Us Part, and then there you go, and put that on, you know, Big Brother Harlem Shake.
Well, we may have crazy orgy scenes in BB Canada before it's over with. You know,
tell us about this one bedroom scenario that you were telling me about before.
Well, they basically have a huge bedroom with a bunch of beds in it. You know, they do have a have not room for have nots. I've got a list of have nots right now as well. They got the HOH room with another bed in it, but everybody else, I mean, it's not like there's two or three different rooms where people can sleep in.
Yeah. So you got all these couples in one room. So what's going on after dark?
Not much that I've seen.
Okay.
I mean, they like go to sleep early compared to the BBUSA people.
Interesting.
Like 1 o'clock is pretty late for most people.
The US Big Brother people, they end up on like some crazy schedule where they're up until like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
There's maybe 2 or 3 hours out of the day when there's no one up in the Big Brother USA house.
Yeah. So what time is bedtime usually for the Big Brother Canada contestants?
I'd say around, well, I'm in Central, so around midnight Central time,
okay.
Pretty much everyone's going to bed, but Topaz and Gary stayed up all night last night. I mean, just talking.
And then, last question for you, Brian Lynch. After a week of Big Brother that you've seen, or basically from Wednesday until now, do you have a new pick for who is going to win the game of Big Brother Canada?
No, I felt very fortunate that I chose Peter as my pick 24 hours before the premiere, and I'm not going to change that.
Yeah, don't switch the horse midstream.
I didn't switch from Ian during reset.
Okay.
And how are you feeling? Are you wanting to switch yours up?
No, I'll stick with Alec. I don't have any reason to flip-flop just yet. He was in on the conversation talking about Rob as a podcast, so I have to feel like that's got to be some sort of a sign, right?
Right. Well, it was both of our players pretty much that were talking about Rob has a podcast. So.
Okay, good. I'm not loving the showmance or the cuddlemance or whatever you want to call it. I hate the term cuddlemance.
Well, Gary worked hard last night to try to get Topaz to break it off with him.
Oh, is and, a
Is, oh, today's Alec's birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday, Alec. Yeah. So is Gary a C-blocker? Is he a hater?
Well, like I said, he's like a pendulum. He talked to her for about 2 hours, telling her, well, he's in lust with you. He's not really in love with you, like he's saying. And then she had he had her convinced. And then all of a sudden he swings back this way. And he's like, no, girl, you should just use that guy for whatever you can. You know, stick with him.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Plenty more to come on the Big Brother Canada. Looking forward to following it all with you guys. Oh, wait. And this just in, Tom Palmer in the chat room is reporting it's not really Alec's birthday. So I don't know.
Oh, it's not?
Yes.
He just made it up.
He might have made it up. That's another default reality show thing. Anybody on a reality show who says it's their birthday. Did Cochran do that also, that he said it was his birthday, I think, on Survivor? It's happened before where a reality show person says it's their birthday. It's a fake birthday, everybody. Fake birthday. Oh, so happy fake birthday to Alec, who is fake 57 today. So happy birthday. Happy birthday to Alec. And also happy fake birthday to Bill Clinton. And also a very happy fake birthday to Boston Rob as well. So happy fake birthday to all those guys.
Happy fake birthday to you, Rob.
Oh, happy fake birthday to you too, Brian Lynch.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to call it quits on this edition of the Big Brother podcast. Brian Lynch is going to be following the Big Brother live feeds all season long. Can you tell us about your doomsday sort of rations and stockpile of equipment that you have ready to get you through this whole Big Brother season?
Stockpile and rations I do not have.
Oh, okay.
I just have motivation and enthusiasm.
Okay. I figured that you would have had like a whole storeroom of, you know, of dried fruit and all sorts of what do you call those? MREs? Is that what you call them?
Oh God, no. I ain't eating no MREs. Hell no.
Power bars just ready to go. All right. Jolt Cola, everything. Okay, so follow Brian Lynch on Twitter, and that is at Lynch MGM, as in what do you want to say?
As in Montgomery MGM.
Okay, Lynch at Lynch MGM. He is tweeting like a mofo on the Big Brother live feeds, and then I'll be back with you guys on Sunday night. Gonna recap Amazing Race right after it happens, and then on Monday night I will be giving you guys a Celebrity Apprentice premiere podcast, and then we're gonna do it all over again on for Survivor. And I'm seeing Ron Chan in the chat room wants to know: are you gonna get any former Big Brother players on the podcast this season? If there are Big Brother players who are watching Big Brother Canada, I would love to have them on the show. The problem has been so far that not a ton of them are following the show. So if you know Big Brother players who are following Big Brother Canada on Twitter, definitely let them know you want to hear them on Rob as a podcast, and we'll try to make it happen. So all the best, everybody. And don't forget, this week is we are giving back for all the support that we've gotten from you guys over the last 3 years or God knows how long. If you use our links for Amazon.com, if you go to robiswebsite.com/Amazon, we are donating 100% of the proceeds from March 1st to March 7th to Reality Rally and Michelle's Place. So that we are trying to raise some money for a good cause, and you can do it by shopping at Amazon through our links. So, Brian Lynch, all the best to you, my friend.
Good luck to you, Rob.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great one. Bye.